roar.
Touchdown!
Where every day is game day.
This is how we do it.
Hour number two, Out of Bounds.
William Quagamish, Ben Milstead, live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Let me say what I mean on this. This is on the heels of the Cam Pringle, an in-state offensive tackle, committing to South Carolina. It's on the heels of Mazio Bennett, who is a local product from Greenville High School, decommitted from Tennessee a couple months ago. And committed to South Carolina earlier today. By the way, on the Clemson front, it is the white kid from, that's his last name, by the way.
I'm saying, no need from, to bring race into this.
from Arkansas, that is announcing today between Clemson and Auburn and Baylor, I believe. Walker White is his name from the Little Rock area. He's a four-star quarterback. Clemson had him in last weekend. They feel pretty good about picking up a commitment there. So Clemson's going to get somebody that's a four-star kid today. It's also, I mean, there are three, you know, legitimate offensive line prospects in the state. South Carolina's got commitments from two of them. And Blake Franks is the other one from Greenville that I think both sides feel pretty good about getting. I think they've got reasons to be encouraged. This is on the heels of South Carolina pulling its weight in the state of South Carolina last class, in a class where Clemson filled its needs in the state late with guys who were lesser regarded. And here's what I'll say about that. If you're a South Carolina fan, you should not feel like, I'm not trying to make you feel less than because you got guys in the state that you wanted. There's no reason to feel that way. You get Xavier McLeod from Camden, that's great. You get Mazio Bennett, four-star kid, really good athlete, that's great. I've watched Mazio Bennett play several times in person. Kid's really good. He's a fantastic athlete. I got no beef with that. Couple things on this, though. And I'll go back to some things that I said in the fall on air. When he committed to Tennessee and when Tyler Brown committed, or when Tyler Brown got offered by Clemson. I've been saying, and Donald Clark will back me up on this, Nick Roby will back me up on this. I said that the best player on Greenville's team last year from a skill position standpoint, or two seasons ago rather, was Josh Sapp. And Clemson got Josh Sapp. That was before Clemson had offered Josh Sapp. I was saying that I would want that kid on my team and in my program every single time. It's just the way he played, made plays, body language, very impressive. And a good bloodline. So we like Patrick Sapp here on the show. This year, I go and watch Greenville, and the kid that stuck out to me is Tyler Brown, the wide receiver that Clemson got. That's not a top five player in the state by the recruiting services. But the kid knows how to play. He plays like a really heady player. He's intelligent. He's got short area quickness. He's got good track time. He's a 10-7 guy, sprinter, but he can also make you miss in a phone booth. Good route runner, smooth player. That's not to say that Bennett didn't impress me, but I'm just telling you, sometimes the recruiting services see things differently. Sometimes different staffs see things differently. Ben, to your point, I think one of the most interesting things to happen this cycle is what happened in the state of Georgia. I'm not sure we've talked about this enough on the show. In 2023, the state of Georgia, and I'm looking at the On3 composite recruiting rankings right now. In 2023, the state of Georgia was loaded for bear. Georgia right now is basically what Florida and California and Texas have been. Per capita, this is a very, very good state to recruit. And, you know, we tie that some to Georgia's success. Like, I've said this before, and Ben, I think you would agree. I think most people would agree that because a lot of folks are moving to Atlanta in the suburbs because Georgia is a popular state. It's growing. It's, you know, even the suburbs are getting suburbs now. A lot of these schools are attracting families. These families presumably are bringing some talented athletes. And so Georgia is becoming a more fertile recruiting ground. And as Georgia has risen, it's easy to tie that to the state of Georgia. So naturally, you would assume that Georgia did really, really well in its home state, right? You would assume that they got the top players in their home state. You just assume that. They get whoever they want in their state. The number one player in the state, the only five-star in the state, according to On3, was Caleb Downs, a safety from Mill Creek High School in Hushton. Clemson was on him. Georgia was on him. He's going to Alabama. The number two player in the state was Justice Haynes, whose dad was a running back for Georgia that I remember playing at Georgia growing up. Georgia wanted him. Clemson wanted him. A lot of folks wanted him. Goes to Alabama. The number three player in the state of Georgia was Vic Beasley. We know he's at Clemson. Number 72 player in the country. Number 12 defensive line prospect in the nation. Georgia got linebacker C.J. Allen, the number four player in the state of Georgia. But then the number five player in the state of Georgia was Stephylin Green. Where did he go? Clemson, defensive line. Number six player in the state of Georgia, Jelani Thurman, Ohio State. Number seven player in the state of Georgia, Kyan Lee, cornerback, goes to Auburn. Bo Hewley, offensive tackle, goes to Georgia, the number eight player in the state. D.J. Chester from Eagles Landing Christian goes to LSU.
So, trying to bring this back to South Carolina for a moment, the state, I made the statement that I think it's 1980s mentality to try to feel like you have to win the state. And the reason I say that is that recruiting used to be so regionalized. Recruiting is a national thing. It is sea to shining sea, Quok. A program that's the caliber of Clemson or Florida State or Texas or Miami or you name it, they don't care where the kid lives. I mean, you've seen Clemson get great players out of California and Alabama and Texas and Connecticut. I mean, it doesn't matter. And now, if there are great players in your state, of course you want them to come to your school if that's who you offer. But Clemson hasn't been very active in the South Carolina state recruiting game the last couple of years because there hasn't been great talent in the state. I mean, let's just call it what it is. There hadn't been great talent. You look at the top 10 states to produce FBS players. South Carolina hadn't been. I just looked back through the last three years. They're nowhere near the top 10. I mean, like a state like Pennsylvania is.
Right.
South Carolina is not.
And there are certain positions that South Carolina does better than others. I'm on record as saying South Carolina has produced some dang good wide receivers the last 15 years. And so if you're down to a South Carolina kid and a kid from another state, especially with a certain build and skill set and from a certain program, go ahead and get that South Carolina kid. South Carolina offensive lineman, maybe a little bit of a mixed bag to the point. Look at the numbers. Look at the production. Look at what does the recruiting, is the juice worth the squeeze? Does the recruiting ranking match what you get out of that player? Clemson has not been filling the top of, to your point, Ben, Clemson has not been filling the top of its recruiting class with South Carolina kids, but it has been filling the bottom of their recruiting from a recruiting ranking standpoint with South Carolina kids. That's what Georgia did this class, and Georgia ended up with the number two class in America. Georgia wanted these kids. Georgia wanted these recruits. They didn't get them. They didn't mope or pout or say, well, we'll just go to the next guy down the list at Georgia because we got to fill a quota in the state. They went and got other really good players. And that's not to say that Alabama shouldn't feel good about beating Georgia for Caleb Downs or beating Georgia for Justice Haynes. It's not. What it is saying is that it's okay to zag instead of just zigging all the time. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I would also say on that note that I think personally that South Carolina does need to do well in the state. Based on its history, the teams, I think Paul brought this up, the teams that South Carolina's had great success with in its history have been led largely by South Carolina products. Mm-hmm. I would also say that the most fertile recruiting ground in football and basketball at South Carolina cuts down the middle and goes toward the coast. The upstate generally is not a hotbed of like regional or national caliber recruits that are going to make or break you in terms of building a program. A lot of the schools that you're going to get that talent from are going to be more favorable to South Carolina, either geographically or culturally or whatever the case may be. That's gonna play a factor. I believe for Clemson, it can't be about that. You're 2 hours from Charlotte, you're 2 hours from Atlanta. Hit those hard. Get the kids in the upstate you can get. You know, go after a Jordan Birch if you want. But Clemson is gonna have to recruit regionally. It is. When they were building the program, they did it in Florida. Even Tommy Bowden. Remember the great class that Tommy Bowden signed with Jamie Harper and Kyle Parker and all those kids? That was Jacksonville. You know, they did really good work in the state of North Carolina with Robbie Caldwell, beating the bushes in the, you know, small schools in North Carolina. Did a really good job of that.
You know, I just thinking about this, I don't think there's any reason necessarily behind South Carolina not being a great recruiting hotbed. It is interesting, though, that all the states around them are. Florida and Georgia and Alabama and I don't know how much Tennessee is. North Carolina and Virginia, certainly. It's interesting, like, you go up the East Coast, South Carolina's, the state of South Carolina is not known for recruiting the way all those states around you are.
I wonder if some of that may change because of population movement.
Well, I was going to say, and that's the obvious. I mean, the population of Atlanta proper is about that of South Carolina.
Right. That's right. We'll see what happens in 5 or 10 years. I would just point out, like, it is a bigger deal and has been a bigger deal historically in the state of South Carolina to have success for the University of South Carolina than it has been for Clemson. And so I don't think you should be worried. You know, that's also not to say that Clemson didn't want Marky Anderson. They did. That's not to say that Clemson didn't want Jordan Burch. They did. That's not to say that Clemson isn't recruiting Josiah Thompson and Blake Franks, and they didn't want Cam Pringle. They did. They recruited those guys.
Yeah, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, if there's talent in your state, you want the top talent, and you're not always getting it. My point is, I don't think that's been a major priority the last couple of years. Like, I don't, if there is a recruiting list of goals, I don't know that win your state in recruiting is necessarily one of them. I think your goal is win recruiting, period.
Yes. Have a better class. Absolutely. Let's go to Mike from Anderson, who's up with us next on the phone. What's up, Mike?
Not much. Thanks for getting me in, Quack. Had a quick comment and then a question for you. Paul from Enery, and I enjoy Paul's calls. I always have. Paul, just enjoy the ride, brother. Don't wait for the other shoe to fall, as Ben said. And then if by some reason, if that were to happen, then you can call Walt's show and say, hey, I was right. But just enjoy the ride, man. We don't see teams like this very often. Or we haven't in a while. This is a really good basketball team, and I've taken shots at Brad Brownell's job or the job he's done before, too, no mistake about it. But this is one. They're not the most talented team I don't think I've ever seen at Little John, but they play together as a team. They play with passion, and they seem to have as high a basketball IQ as any team I've ever seen on the floor at Little John, so just enjoy the ride, brother, and let's see what happens. But I had a question for you, the thing about Garrett Riley at his press conference the other day. He made the comment, I think, several times that he's going to play fast and violently. Now, I can see Cade Klubnik, Will Shipley, Maffa, some of those guys playing both ways, fast and violently. I don't know about the wide receivers yet. We just don't know enough about them, except maybe Antonio Williams. But in your opinion, and that's a great idea, I think, is the offensive line and the wide receivers, are they capable of playing violently? Anybody can play fast. You can teach that. But are they capable of playing violently, and to play violently, you got to be physical, I would think. And I just wanted to get your and Ben's take on that. Thanks a lot, Quack.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call.
Can I answer first?
Sure.
I think that's a great question, Mike.
I do too.
I had that a similar thought when I heard that, and I don't think about the offensive line as much as I do the wide receiver. Wide receiving core was the first thing that I thought of when he said fast and violent, because quite frankly, I don't think you have fast wide receivers and I don't think you have violent wide receivers. And by violent, I mean, I mean guys that know how to use their hands. And when Clemson was the wide receiving core has always been great at blocking. And you can think of some of those true violent blocks on the edge that spring a long run in the past, or sprung a long run. Like, we can think of those things. I don't think that's what you have right now. Now you can't really teach speed. You can't coach speed, but you can coach that violence aspect. You know, and I don't. People know what we mean when you say violence. More the aggressive nature of that. You know, like I watch Jamar Chase at LSU and in the pros now. I think of fast and violent. T. Higgins, I think of fast and violent.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's some of those guys. I just don't think you have that right now. And, you know, it really does start somewhat with a mentality, does it not?
Yes.
So that's – I think that can trickle down from your OC. Route-wise, there are things you can do to give the appearance of speed, but you know, that's something I don't know that you have the personnel necessarily right now for that.
I want to address this more on the other side, because I think you're right. I also don't know that you don't. And I want to extrapolate that out. I want to let that play out for a second, because I think it's possible that you do next year. And I have one thing to back that, that we'll talk about. 654-ROAR is the number. I also have some doubts on that, by the way, that I'll address on the other side. This is a good conversation. Hour two continues after this.
One of the things they don't teach you in Parenting 101 is how to handle your child telling you they're in trouble with the law. How will this affect their future? What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Whether it's DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or fake ID, Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child. The consultation is free. Make the call today, 864-654-3680.
My Garage by Essex is proud to service the Clemson area with excellent service on all makes and models. They are professionals that perform high-quality workmanship with high-quality parts. With life being uncertain, you know you can be certain of My Garage by Essex, taking care of you and your family. Stop in to see them at 551 Old Greenville Highway, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., or call 864-633-5800.
With a 2 for $5 mix and match of Bojangles, you choose between sausage and egg, country ham, and southern gravy biscuits, all scratch made. It's bow time.
What's under your home can get into your home. A sealed crawl space keeps out moisture, mold, and pests. Canty Foundation Specialist is your local trusted expert in crawl space sealing. Call us today for your free estimate.
Canty can fix it.
Call the local experts for a free estimate. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 864-403-5263 and ask about transferable warranties and available financing. That's 864-403-5263 or online at cantyconfixit.com.
Winning multiple Ford President's Awards and top-notch online reviews are two reasons why George Coleman Ford should be your choice for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. Every week, customers like you post online reviews raving about the buying experience at George Coleman Ford. It's like nothing they've experienced. No hidden fees and straight-up honest customer service. And with new inventory arriving monthly, George Coleman Ford is committed to satisfying you. The best is found in Traveler's Rest, George Coleman Ford.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun, They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language. Like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right. And they're designed by real language teachers, so you learn how to have real-world conversations, things you'll actually use.
It's incredible. After using Babbel, I'm ready to start having real conversations in French.
There's all kinds of ways to learn. Use Babbel's podcasts or games or videos. You can even join live classes with a language teacher.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Babbel. Évidemment. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Listen up, Clemson fans. Hatflow Company is now selling official Clemson-licensed leather patch Richardson hats. These hats are hard to find, so get yours today downtown Clemson at Mr. Knickerbocker or Tiger Sports Shop. You can also buy online at HatflowCo.com. Look great at the tailgate, on the water, on the field, or around town with an official license leather patch Richardson hat from Hatflow Company. They also make great gifts for the Clemson fan in your life. HatflowCo.com. Get yours today.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
From the Liberty Bridge in Falls Park to the Top Row in Memorial Stadium, we are your home for sports across the Upstate. 105.5 and 97.5, we are The Roar.
Quark, we don't dive much into the arena of world events.
Sure.
But I read something that's just hilarious during the break. At least the way that I translated what I read was funny. Have you seen the developing story about a Chinese spy balloon flying over the Pentagon?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I have so many questions. And the Pentagon seems like they don't know what to do about it. And I'm, okay, so in my mind, I'm like, surely somebody has a pellet gun somewhere. Like, go out of the parking lot, somebody's got a .22 under the seat or a pellet gun. I can take care of your balloon problem, okay? We don't need F-18s. We don't need drones. I need a pellet gun. I'll take care of
yes.
Your, like, we're canceling trips to China because of there's this balloon. The other thing is, in the modern age of technology, we're using a freaking balloon.
A balloon.
Are we being serious here?
Have you seen the
that
Chinese?
That is so funny to me.
Have you seen their response to this?
Yeah, they said, no, it's not ours. It's a civilian's.
It's a civilian weather balloon. Is what they said. It's
right.
For weather. Which I did have this conversation. I had this conversation with my wife this morning. She was like, honestly, what if it is? What if it is a weather balloon?
Okay, I stand corrected. The balloon is over Montana, not over the Pentagon. The Pentagon was responding to this balloon in Montana. Okay. Thank you, Texter. That's like, what happens when you try to read during a commercial break.
This is something... Have you ever seen Veep? Have we talked about this before? You ever watched Veep?
No.
Don't watch it with anyone in your family. The jokes are vulgar and crude. It is hilarious. It is, politics are more like Veep than you would think. Politics are more like Veep than I assumed when, like, if you watch The West Wing and you think that's what politics is. That's, or like even House of Cards. No. Politics is like Veep. This is something straight from Veep that they would have to deal with in 30 minutes and try to figure out the fallout and just the hilarity that would ensue in the Veep's office. Oh, man. I can't imagine them making an episode about the Chinese potential weather balloon. That, by the way, have you seen the track of this thing? That it is coming for us, man. It is going to be over our area.
This balloon?
Yes. It's going to be over, like, tomorrow. It's going to be over our area tomorrow. Unless somebody shoots it down beforehand and starts World War III.
Hey, there's a reason it started over Montana and not South Carolina. We got way too many old boys that try to take care of this thing. Look, people, I know, I'm just having fun. It's way up there. It's like 40,000 feet, okay? I know. I'm just having some fun.
You know who?
But when you just read a headline and it's like the world is freaked out about a balloon, my mind immediately goes to, you know, like the movie Up. Okay, it's like that.
Right. Well, and two, somebody has been waiting for an excuse to try out that rocket launcher that you have in your doomsday bunker.
There you go.
Somebody has been waiting on an excuse.
We're not advocating for that in any way, for the record.
I'm just merely stating a fact. I probably one of our listeners is going, yep, I got the right ammo right there.
Yeah, texture.
I go 50,000 feet.
See, thank you. We finally got a texture who's tracking with me. Texture says, you better not fly that sucker over 6 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's gone.
Exactly. Yeah. Out of here. I'm shocked they made it all the way through Montana.
I'm going to have that hanging on my wall by lunch tomorrow, man.
Out. Out.
Right beside my deer head. Got my Chinese balloon in my deer head.
Texture said, loading up now. Yes. Get ready, boys. It's coming. Anyway, regardless of that, let's talk about, speaking of shooting rocket launchers at Chinese balloons, let's talk about violence. I think it's a great question. Ben, I will admit, I did not watch a lot of TCU in 2021. They were 5-7. They were more talented than they played. They were, I guess, incredibly entertaining because you never knew quite what was going to happen in their games. They could score a bunch and give up a bunch and do the opposite, not score and give up none. It was very up and down. And they lost a bunch. They fired Gary Patterson. Sonny Cumbie came in, all that stuff. I didn't watch a lot of SMU. I did watch them a couple times when Garrett Riley was there, but I didn't think I would have to do a super deep dive. Here's what I would suggest. I don't think that TCU's wide receiver core was known as fast and violent in 2021. I think they probably were considered a fine bunch, but I really don't remember thinking, you know what Sonny Dykes is inheriting at TCU? He is inheriting a fast, violent receiving core. I think that happened over the course of time in the offseason and during the season, that this is a group that, you know what? It didn't have to just be Garrett Riley, but maybe the wide receivers coach demanded out of him. Maybe, you know, there's something to be said for that. Maybe it's something Sonny Dykes wanted with his offensive philosophy. Maybe it's Garrett Riley's offensive philosophy. We don't know exactly what happened there. But, Ben, I don't think anybody would disagree with the notion that when you think of TCU's wide receiver core and Garrett Riley says fast and violent, that you're kind of talking about that group. You're kind of talking about his offense. Nobody thinks that TCU fell short of that standard this year, of a fast, violent standard. And as I said, I'm not sure that anybody would say that TCU was a fast, violent unit before he got there. So I think it's possible that the emergence of Garrett Riley, what they're doing schematically, the things that he demands that maybe were different from before, maybe there's a little bit of a fire lit under everybody's behind on the staff and on the roster and everything else. Maybe there's been a bit of a fire lit that you need to get the lead out on some of this stuff. I would argue that Sherron Peake needs to talk to the team once a week, wherever he is in the world.
Sherron Peake is the wide receiver I'm thinking of.
It doesn't have to be like that, but Clemson doesn't have any. Remember how excited everybody got when Dakari Collins like finished a block in the end zone 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Remember how elated we are? I mean, he didn't have to catch a pass. In fact, he wasn't going to play if it was about catching passes, which is why he transferred. But man, oh man, he finished that block and everybody freaked out because you didn't see much of that. And you didn't see enough of that this year from the receiving core as it was assembled. I do think, Ben, this is another element. One thing that I heard a lot at the recruiting wrap, and one thing that people have talked about through the recruiting process about what Clemson has brought in at the wide receiver spot is toughness. Noble Johnson, he plays tough. Now, he's not a super thick kid. He's the one. Have you seen a video of him doing the Irish jig on the stage?
Yes.
Have you seen that? Uh-huh. He's the one that did the Irish jig. I mean, that's a pretty slender guy. But you watch him when the ball's in the air, that's a tough kid. I do think you can be violent in the air. with a ball in the air. Mike Williams was violent going to catch a ball in the air. Nuke Hopkins was violent going to catch a ball in the air. I thought Martavis Bryant had a little bit of violence in the way he attacked the football. Sammy Watkins was violent on the ground with his hands and with his finish. He's a violent player. You didn't want Sammy Watkins out blocking 40 yards away from the play because he had the ball probably. But he showed violence. He showed those violent characteristics that we talk about there. I think it's possible that when you bring in a kid like Johnson, you bring in a kid like Ronan Hannafin, whose dad was is a SWAT guy. That's a blue-collar kid now. That kid's big enough, he could probably play defense. That's the kind of thing they wanted to get back to in the room. A lot of people wanted speed. I think they targeted toughness in who they wanted at receiver. And they wanted Ray Joseph to be a speed guy. And Ray Joseph took the bag, more power to him. He got that bag at Miami. And he stayed home at Miami. That's great. People forget that was their first commit from a receiver in this class. I think the violence has a lot to do with blocking. It also is about attacking the ball in the air. And I just thought, even the receivers that Clemson had, when the ball's in the air, did you feel like guys got mossed this year when the ball's in the air? Like, I can remember one time Joseph Ngata just wrecked a guy. I think it was the Wake Forest game. It might have been the Florida State game. It was first half of the year, I believe. And I remember a couple times Bo Collins did it, but this was not a receiving core that routinely made defensive backs look small and insignificant. And for about 10 years, Clemson routinely made defensive backs look small and insignificant with receivers that came through the pipeline. Those are things that I think you're talking about when you consider violence. So I would agree with the sentiment from Mike that offensive line still has some development to do. I personally, I'm pretty high on the offensive line. I like what Thomas Alston's doing. I like who they're bringing in. They're getting bigger, thicker guys from the outset. You talk to strength and conditioning coaches, they would say the ability of them to do a good job is based on the clay that you give them. I think they're giving good clay to Joey Batson up front. And I also think at the receiver spot, they are getting tougher, but they also hired somebody who took a unit that was not particularly known for being fast and violent, and he turned them into a fast and violent unit that played for a national championship. Along with some other stuff. I won't say it's only Garrett Riley, but that very well could have been a big part of things.
The other thing, just for people to keep in mind, he may not be speaking so much literal as figuratively at this point, too. Fast and violent is a mentality a lot of times, right?
That's a January, February thing, too.
Yeah.
That's how you train. I mean, something I've heard people say countless times. I've said it myself a couple times recently. How you do anything is how you do everything. I think Dabo said it the other day, too, at one of his many availabilities. I think you can train fast and violent in January, February, so do you play that way in September? Let's go to Mike, who's up with us next on the phones. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. Thanks for getting in.
Think Ben just hit the nail on the head, just talking about, in theory, what we want to do. Somebody posted, and I hadn't had a chance to research this quote, but you said something about TCU and the receivers he inherited there. And I think if you look at Clemson's top two or three receivers, Nagata, Collins, and Williams, our stats from last year, as disappointing as they were to most of the fan base, were even or better than the stats that the three leading TCU receivers had from the year before. That says a hell of a lot. I mean, stats don't lie. And he went in there with probably the equivalent star talent I've heard from ACC standpoint is Georgia Tech, and these guys get them to the national championship game. So it is a mentality. Only so much of it can be taught, and I think it can be. But I love the way he's starting. I like the way he's thinking, and I just think good times are ahead for Clemson as we recruit that type player. And even Randall and some of the ones we got, I think, have the potential to play with that physical mentality he's talking about. That's all I got, guys. I appreciate it. Y'all do a great job.
Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. You know, that's one guy that he brings up that people forget about some, and I'm guilty of this too, is Adam Randall. And I don't think we saw that version of Adam Randall last year. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because If you're a freshman coming off a major knee injury where you missed months of time, you're probably, I mean, we're talking about mentally as well as physically, you're probably mentally a little ways away from where you need to be fast and violent, whatever that means. You're not going to be at your peak in terms of your ability to play with aggression if you're not super comfortable on that knee, cutting, planting, pushing, leaping, those types of things. I would expect Adam Randall with a year of recovery under his belt to more resemble that type of a player. And I would expect somebody like Bo Collins, who's dealt with a lot of injuries, I would expect Bo Collins to be able to be that type of player. When you saw him as a freshman, did we not sort of think this guy's going to develop into that type of a player? Maybe some people didn't. I thought the consensus was that maybe he would develop into that type of a player. Jake Brenningstuhl, honestly, a little bit tougher than I thought last year. Not as tough as a Davis Allen or one of the thicker tight ends that Clemson's had, but, you know, I kind of saw him as a glorified receiver. He made some tough plays. I think Marcus Tate is a tough player. Colin Sadler is a tough player. That kid redshirted last year. Tough player. Walker Parks, tough player. I think Blake Miller's going to be a tough player. The guys they brought in, the young players on the offensive line, I think there is a mentality to them that will allow them to do those types of things. Will they be able to put it together? Will they be healthy enough to do it? We'll see. But I do think that the potential is there that if Garrett Riley can do that to the TCU group, as Mike just pointed out, then I don't see any reason why he can't do that or be part of a transformative process where Clemson's offense plays that way in 2023. We can talk more about this on the other side. We got lots more to get to as well. 654 Roar, you want to join us on the phones? You want to join us on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line? Hour two of the program continues next.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
Rely on the pros in EnviroMulch for all your outdoor needs. They have an assortment of mulch, riverstone, dirt, sand, gravel, straw, and much more. Choose EnviroMulch. Make your yard look amazing during the colder months ahead. Order at EnviroMulchOnline.com. Go Tigers!
Estes Heating and Air is celebrating over 20 years of service to Oconee, Pickens, and Greater Greenville by offering some of their biggest discounts ever. Take $200 off the new Heil installation, plus an extra $50 off when you mention WCCP. Whether it's pre-existing residential, new construction, or commercial, Estes prides themselves on being one of the best in the business. An elite Heil dealer, they're sure to exceed your expectations from install to maintenance, today and years beyond. Call Estes today at 864-718-7200.
This is for the men who never settle, the ones who miss the fairway all day and still pull out the big stick, the type of guys who will always prefer to be behind the grill than in front of the camera, and the men who never let their friends forget about a high school nickname. This is the Lodge Mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Who wants to settle for a single TV? With more TVs, bigger screens, plus our fabulous scenic views, there's more to watch at Twin Peaks.
Gilstrap Roofing has an experienced team that specializes in shingle, metal, and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 80 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
This Valentine's, it will be love at first sight when you see Diamonds Direct's Classics Collection. This must-have collection includes diamond stud earrings, diamond hoop earrings, diamond pendants, diamond bracelets. These beautiful romantic gifts even come in any budget. Diamond classics are like the little black dress. It's jewelry every woman needs, something she can wear every day, whether just running errands or going out on the town. A nice pair of diamond stud earrings goes with just about anything. Now is the perfect time to celebrate your love with the gift of jewelry. Diamonds Direct has all of the trending fashion jewelry she needs to complete any outfit. Whether she needs a pop of color with a gorgeous gemstone necklace or classic diamond studs to wear every day, it's all at Diamonds Direct. Come and let us help you start the jewelry box of her dreams. And remember, with every purchase at Diamonds Direct, you're guaranteed the best value price and a luxurious shopping experience. Come celebrate your love this Valentine's at Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion. Learn more at DiamondsDirect.com.
Chris, this needs to go to Parkville by 3.
Joy to the holiday packages that keep coming at Jimenez Couriers.
Coming your way, but the drop-off location is changing.
She needs delivery drivers with the gift of punctuality.
Anyone looking to pick up some overtime? Anyone?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Roar, the home for everyone good enough to make varsity. 105.5 and 97.5 FM, where every day is game day.
Hour two continues, Out of Bounds. You know, I was I looked up some stats during the break, and Mike is correct about TCU's wide receiver core back in 2021. I mean, even if you look at the passing game for TCU as opposed to Clemson, both teams roughly average in yards per game. TCU a better quarterback rating. They converted more big plays, certainly. Fewer touchdowns, fewer interceptions, a little bit of a safer passing game in that regard. But a lot of the stats are similar. The big picture stats are similar. How they got there was a little bit different. But a lot of the stats are similar. My point is simply saying this. TCU didn't have a prolific passing game, and then Garrett Riley show up and they maintained a prolific passing game. Quentin Johnson averaged 70 yards a game in 2021, and he averaged 76 yards a game in 2022. Tay Barber had 30 catches in 2021, and he had 37 catches in 2022, but what he did with those was significantly better. 17.1, in terms of the total, 514 yards in 2021 and 613 in 2022. Darius Davis, same deal. Numbers went up from 2021 to 2022. Then you added other guys into the mix. Savion Williams went from 6 catches to 29 catches from a sophomore year to a junior year. And they spread the ball out for touchdowns. I mean, as much as we talked about Quentin Johnson and his explosiveness, they had 12 different guys catch touchdowns this year. In 2021, they had like, I think 9 guys catch touchdowns, but like 5 of them had one. 6 of them had one. So there was a difference in the passing game with TCU in 2021 and TCU in 2022. Maybe it does take longer. I'm just telling you, the last time Garrett Riley tried a one-year turnaround in a passing game, it worked like a charm. Let's go to Pat and Easley, who's up with us next on the phones. What's up, Pat?
What's going on, Qual? How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for getting in.
Since we're talking football, I'm going to talk about basketball too, but the one thing, like I said, I like what the other caller talked about earlier when he was talking about, you know, with the offensive line, you know, and I like what Coach Riley said from the start, you know, violently fast. You know, we talk about receivers and all that, but, you know, number one thing I said after the season was over with, and even kind of during it at the end of the season, was they had to get back to getting toughness. They had to get the toughness back to the program. I thought the last few years on both sides of the ball, I felt like we was getting pushed around and stuff like that. And so I kind of liked it when he said, we got to get violently fast, because I think that's one of the things they have to get back, is that chip on the shoulder toughness. And I think they got a chance to do that. You got a lot of guys coming back on the offensive line that I think that the last 2 years you kind of didn't have. You had, you know, things kind of in flux, basically. Guys moving around or new guys here. And, you know, the year before in 2021, you had guys hurt. And so I think that's going to kind of help them some, that they have a foundation to really work with up front. And then the fact that I think he's going to add some things in the passing game that, you know, I think we haven't used a lot, and that's the middle of the field with the crossing routes. I think that adds to your offense, and I think that's going to help him some too. And he's going to adapt to what he has, and that's what a great offensive coordinator does. He adapts to what he got. And so I'm just kind of looking forward to it, to see what happens.
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, to me, we won't know until we start, you know, hearing the returns from the spring, and then ultimately when we see him on the field in the fall. But it is possible that it is a 1 year turnaround. It's a bit more of an expedited process than maybe we think. Although I do share some concerns, as much as I'm saying what I said last segment, I do share some concerns, like Ben and like Mike, who brought it up on the phone call, that maybe this personnel, especially the older guys in the program, aren't necessarily of the mindset and of the skill set to be fast and violent like he wants. So there's a bit of skepticism undergirding some of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, like, you know, anytime you change, you don't know how it's going to go with, you know, like, some of the older guys in the program and how things are going to play out. But I think sometimes you're willing to learn and adapt after you've kind of struggled and caught a lot of flack the last 2 years and guys being hurt on top of that. You know, will Stilato ever get healthy to be a factor for this team, you know, because they say he's pretty fast. So, you know, so it'll be interesting how that play out. So I'm just looking forward to it. Looking forward to the change and see what happens, you know, and everything. But with the basketball team, you know, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game. It's a big game for them. I mean, I'm interested to see how they bounce back. I thought, you know, the thing that really, you know, I think y'all probably talked about, the thing that really cost them more than anything, especially at Boston College, was the turnovers. You know, they went cold, but it was a turnover. And I'm like Walt when Walt was talking Monday. I think the key is for them is you got to get the ball into TJ. I thought Post was doing a good job on him, but I thought he was starting to figure out how to handle him with that jump hook and getting the ball to him in the post. Because to me, when you have a team like that where you kind of struggle shooting, one of the things I feel like you got to do is you got to attack. You know, you got to try to get closer. The higher percentage shots are the closer shots. And so they got a guy in the post that they can get the ball to who can – either make points or get to the free throw line and then work it back out to the rest of the guys. So I'm just interested to see how they bounce back. I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, it's a big game for them. They win. They can't keep that momentum going despite what happened last Tuesday. So I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a great game, Pat. Good stuff. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. You know, I agree to a point with what he's saying. Okay, I think P.J. Hall's got to be the focal point of your offense, especially when two things that were true on Tuesday are true. Number one, your shots aren't falling, either because of poor shot selection or you're just not hitting them. And number two, because unlike the Florida State game, where Chase Hunter was able to get downhill and attack the rim and they really could not ever level him off, nobody was getting to the rim. And so you throw it in there to your best player and you hope that he can get to the line, which he did, or make some shots. Now, I'm also going to say this about PJ. I think PJ still has some growing to do. Brad Brownell talked about that early in the season with regards to his defense and rebounding, because a lot of that work was going to happen in the offseason that he missed because of the injury and subsequent surgery that he had. I think one of the things that PJ, Terrence Oglesby, my guy, talks a lot about doing your work early with posts. I felt like on Tuesday, it was Post, and it was Boston College who was, you know, whoever they had on PJ at the time, were doing their early work to bump PJ off of his spots. I felt like PJ did not catch the ball in comfortable spots where he knew what he was going to do when he got it in order to get to the basket.
Yeah.
PJ knows what he wants to do when he gets the ball. The problem is if you're too high or you're off the block wide or you're too close under the basket, it changes when you make that move what you're looking at. And I felt like that was a lot of the issue with the inefficiencies of PJ. And I do give Boston College some credit, but I also think it's hard to do because he's screening a lot and he's out on the perimeter a lot. but he's got to get that butt on the block, and he's got to make the defender bend to his will so that he's able to get the shots where he wants them.
Yeah, all true things, but, you know, as we said Wednesday, it comes down to putting the ball in a basket.
Yep.
You know, scheme and floor spacing and all that is great, but you have to make shots. And Clemson found themselves in a bit of a catch-22 against Boston College in that, do you keep trying to shoot outside and pull the Boston College defense out, where, knowing that you can't hit the broadside of a barn from outside on that night, or do you keep trying to push, you know, throw the ball in where they're collapsing on you and your big guys are having an off night too? I mean, you were damned if you do, damned if you don't that night. What you're going to see tomorrow are contrasting offensive game plans, I believe. You are going to see a small Miami team, small and quick. They're a four-out type team. They're a four-guard team. They have a 6'7 guard, and they also have a 6'7 forward in their starting lineup. Go figure. I mean, really, that's, you know, Jordan Miller is Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack. A lot of people talk about them. Jordan Miller's the dude, man. He's Hunter Tyson for them.
He's their top paint and mid-range player.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Hunter Tyson Swiss Army knife guy. So they're going to try to pull you out and make it about guards. I think Clemson's going to try to pound the paint and beat them inside. Who wins that matchup? You know, we'll see. I would say Clemson should be able – it's going to be hard no matter what. I think Clemson has the advantage in defending what they want to do versus them defending what Clemson wants to do, though.
I think so, too.
Because I think Tyson – and this could be a game where Chauncey Wiggins maybe gets some minutes, where you can defend their smaller guys somewhat with your big guys, but their small guys can't defend your big guys is the way that I see that.
That's right.
But look, Miami's a good team.
They are
an NBA mentality team in the way they play offense.
And their percentages are very good. They're 25th in the country from two. They're 22nd in the country from the free throw line and shoot 36% from three.
Yeah, and they're not a great defensive team. I mean, they defend long enough, they basically defend so that we can go down and take another shot.
I think this is the worst defensive team that Coach Two has had. I think this is the worst that they've had. In fact, I'm looking up some ratings right now, and I stand corrected. It's the worst defensive team he's had that was also good at basketball. He's had a couple that were weak that finished with losing records. But normally they're really good teams, guard really well. This one, like you said, does not. And size is a big part. Size is a big part of that.
This is who they start. They start 6 foot, 6'4", 6'5", and 2 6'7s. That's their starting lineup. And now they're quick, and they all shoot the ball pretty well.
They don't really play anybody taller than 6'9".
Right.
I mean, normally they have a 7-footer off the bench to some degree, and they've got a couple in the program, but they don't really play.
The one thing people view it differently. The one thing that I just think Clemson has not – this team's good at a lot of things. One thing I don't think they're good at is the post-entry pass. It's hit or miss with that you've got to be good at that tomorrow. And I think you're going to have an opportunity to be good at that tomorrow, but having an advantage in the post doesn't mean a hill of beans if you can't get the ball to that guy and get the ball to your bigs in a position where they can do something with it.
Right.
Can't roll it to their feet. You can't pass it to where you are getting them off their spot. You have to get it to where they can do something.
And it's got to be timed well.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a couple times there were entry passes that were late after the defense had already had time to recover and help. You can't do that. They've got to be on the money. They got to be well timed.
Yeah. The other thing you got to do is, look, Miami's going to be crazy if they don't crash the post. you've got to, you know, PJ Hall and Shefflin and others, they have to also be able to dish that ball back out to the corner for what should be an open shot. I mean, passing is a very important part tomorrow.
And I would expect Ian Shefflin not to be a raging dumpster fire next game.
A raging dumpster fire.
He was bad. That
sounds like a stage name somewhere. Now taking the stage, raging dumpster fire.
That was
I don't know why I said that.
That was kinder than some of the stuff I thought. I mean, that first half was not good.
He'll be good tomorrow.
He will be good tomorrow. He will be baby Draymond tomorrow. Yeah. He'll end the game with 7 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists tomorrow.
I love that. Yeah,
Mark,
man.
Mark my words.
He and PJ are going to have to keep the ball up high, too, because that became an issue all of a sudden at Boston College. Like, PJ, he hadn't been doing that this year, like holding the ball at your knees instead of your head. That's a coachable thing, though.
Little boys.
That's a film review coachable thing. That's fixable.
You know, real quickly, in our final 30 seconds, so one of the callers pointed out it's a high IQ team. It is a high IQ team. That's why they're not going to play that poorly again, because that did not look like a high IQ team. Brad Brownell has said repeatedly they're players who know the right basketball plays to make, and they just know how to make the right play. They look like the exact opposite of that on Tuesday. I've watched them all year. They're going to make the right basketball plays at home where they've not lost all year. They're going to do that this weekend, no doubt in my mind. Ben, we got some Kyrie news next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Bennett Equipment has helped build the upstate for the last 23 years by renting and selling construction equipment. And when it comes to compact equipment, the best in the industry is Takeuchi. A lineup of track skid steer loaders, excavators, wheel loaders, and hundreds of attachments make the choice easy. So come and see why so many choose to buy it or rent it from Bennett and experience the Takeuchi difference in the upstate, western North Carolina, and North Georgia.
East Main Furniture in Easley. Clearance sale is going on now. Everything in stock is highly discounted for great savings. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brands like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, and Liberty Furniture, all at discounted prices. Hurry in for the best selection. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street in Easley, or call 864-442-6054 today.
Craft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Craft Stove Store and Patio, located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylor's.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language. Like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right. And they're designed by real language teachers, so you learn how to have real-world conversations, things you'll actually use.
It's incredible. After using Babbel, I'm ready to start having real conversations in French.
There's all kinds of ways to learn. Use Babbel's podcasts or games or videos. You can even join live classes with a language teacher.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Babbel. Évidemment.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Join us every Monday night for Tiger Calls with Clemson head basketball coach Brad Brownell. It's your chance to get in and talk to Coach. Each week, Coach and Don Munson bring you everything you need to know about Clemson basketball.
That's Monday nights from 7 to 8 p.m.
A Clemson original. The Tiger Sports Shop has been the number one destination for Tiger gear, apparel, and gifts since 1974. The Tiger Sports Shop helps you wear your Clemson pride on your sleeves. We are your excuse for a visit to Clemson. The Tiger Sports Shop, born out of necessity, fueled by passion. We are the place for all Clemson gear and merchandise, and still family run. Open 24/7 at tigersports.com and with locations at 364 College Ave and 1102 Tiger Boulevard. You can get the gear you need.
Here at The Roar, every day is game day. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.